This morning, we're going to continue in Matthew chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15 this morning as we continue to look at Jesus sending out his disciples on what I'm going to say a little short-term, you can call it a short-term mission trip. It's almost like in the structure that Matthew has given us. We see Jesus provide instructions. He provided some great illustrations of people having faith. And now he's going to send them out to demonstrate, you know, the things that they've learned and to continue to spread the message that John had and the message that Jesus was spreading. And so it's pretty cool to see how Matthew is structured when it comes to discipleship, right? You know, discipleship, what's discipleship all about? Maybe we'll start there. Any idea what discipleship is all about? Serving more, right? Serving the kingdom of God. You know, your will be done, not mine, as Jesus modeled, right? The night of his arrest. And it was the will of God that, guess what? He'd be crucified. Did he want to go through that? No, he didn't. But what did he say? Not my will, but your will be done. And so I think it's really important to understand that discipleship is all about serving the Lord, not ourselves, not other gods, not other things. And so Matthew is really, I'm going to say, teaching us about what discipleship is all about. Now, I think it's important to understand as we look at Matthew 10, some may apply this to only to preachers, right, or missionaries. But I think this applies to disciples, you know, which would be include what? Any saved person that's serving the Lord, right? And so I think that's important. When it comes to serving the Lord, what is one of the key elements to serve him? There's several, but there's one in particular that Matthew really has been highlighting throughout his gospel so far, especially chapters 8 and 9. End of the faith, bingo. Yes, faith. You know, Matthew is emphasizing the importance of faith. And what we're going to see today is that the instructions that Jesus has given have really been emphasizing trusting the Lord. Is that easy to trust the Lord? It depends with what you're trusting him with, right? Some things be super simple, other things super not. And the important part when it comes to faith is that we are not relying on our own ability, but we're trusting the Lord. And the way we trust him is by doing what he says. See, that's not when we really trust him, right? Has anybody ever done any of those faith walls or any of those, you know, group building faith exercises? Has anybody ever done any of those? You know, sometimes, I'm sure you've probably seen them, right? You get four people holding arms, right? And some will be standing up here, and they'll fall backwards. You know, and the whole idea is to build trust with the team and stuff like that. And sometimes they can be kind of corny, but I think it can also be kind of, you know, helpful. But it's that idea of trusting the Lord by doing what he says. That's what faith is, right? It really comes down to following him, doing what he says. And so in that regards, there could be a lot of areas that we can consider living by faith, right? When you give your offerings, could that be by faith? Yeah, you're trusting the Lord that he's taking care of you, he's blessing you, and that you want to give back. So there is an element of faith in that. How about in salvation? Is there any faith in salvation? Definitely, right? No, it's a lot of it, right? It's by faith that we're saved, right? It's not by our good works, you know, by faith through grace or by grace through faith. And so faith is very important when it comes to salvation. What about in marriage? Is faith important? Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever wanted to change your spouse? Feel free to speak, Leo.
Feel free to remain silent. Take it.
You know, it's interesting, whenever you work or live closely with somebody else, that's what naturally happens.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. And that can be kind of fun at first, right? But guess what you always find?
Flaws.
And that's very gracious to say. Right? Sometimes there's a little more hope behind those flaws, right? There are things that we desire that we wish that, you know, that one thing would change, everything would be great. You know, we all probably have those feelings. But the problem is, can we change our spouse? In entirety. There's some things that we just can't do no matter what we do. So we really have to, you know, trust the Lord, right? When you're about ready to burst, you know, trust the Lord. Like, okay, Lord, I can't handle this. You know, help me deal with this situation. I think we all face situations, right, where what is needed is well beyond our ability to change. And that's where faith really comes in. Because faith, when you trust in the Lord, you know what we're relying on? We're relying on his abilities, right? And does God have any abilities or any skills? This is me, right? The fact that he's all powerful, what does that mean? He's all powerful. That means whatever he wants, he can do. And that's important to understand, right? Especially in the day and age that we live. Does anyone have any concern with the world or the country that we're with all the stuff that's going on?
No, I agree.
You know, it's important to understand that guess what? The Lord's still in control, right? You know, we're walking through Joel on Wednesday nights, and we're going to get to it this week. We're going to get to chapter 3. We're going to see how the Lord deals with nations, and we see that in other books of the Old Testament. God controls nations. Let's not forget that, right? He allows things to happen for certain reasons, but you know what the end result always is? He always restores, right? He doesn't tear down so he can take advantage of the situation and make it better for him, right? He doesn't do that. If he allows things to be teared down, guess what the end goal is? To make it better. If you got termites, guess what you kind of got to do? You got to get rid of them. Sometimes getting rid of the termites, guess what? You have to do the house. Sometimes you got to do a lot of work. But the goal isn't just to destroy the house, right? The goal is to get rid of the bad that's causing damage. They stop it, get rid of it, and then you restore it. And we see that time and time again in the scriptures. That's what the Lord does. Isn't that amazing? So we can trust the Lord, knowing that he has all power, knowing full well that if something bad is happening, is it too hard for God to fix? No, it's not. Sometimes the only thing he changes and fixes is us. Does God have the ability to give you joy and peace in the middle of hard times? Can God do it? Yeah, he can. Even if you're not okay with it, can God still give you peace and joy through the contentment? Yes, he can. Thank God that we can be at peace knowing that everything is going bad, knowing that the Lord is still in control, and that my life is not tied to what happened in this life. But my life is based upon the Lord. Because after all, who gives life? It comes from the Lord. Yeah, if you trust the Lord and remember what he can do, it changes everything, right? And so this is a great exercise, a great time for his disciples to take what they've learned from him and to begin to do. And I think that's just such a wonderful thing. And the more times that we can, as a church or as individuals, take what the Lord taught us and to do it, you know what's going to happen? The outcomes are just going to be crazy. If you look at Titus chapter 2, we see, you know, Paul sets out a great template for mentoring within a church. And the whole idea is you take the older teach the younger. And the idea is that the older, those who have served the Lord, found the Lord to be faithful through life, do they have anything to share? Those who've walked with the Lord for a long time, trusted him, you know, put their faith to work and not just said, I trust the Lord and did nothing with it. But those who actually did something with it, you know, they have priceless things to share. Because they've experienced and seen the Lord do great things. So Jesus is giving his disciples an opportunity to take what they've learned and put it to work. And so we'll go ahead and read through our section this morning, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, says this: Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whatsoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's bow and pray the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And in the time, Lord, that we get to come together and to look at it and spend time focusing on you. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Help us to lift our eyes to you. Lord, you know what's going on. I just pray, Lord, that you would just minister to us, Lord, as we spend time with you in your word, and that you would build us up and help us, Lord, to build each other up. Lord, we thank you and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a continuation of the direct instructions Jesus gave his disciples. Next week, we're going to be looking at Jesus is going to change tunes a little bit. But as he continues the instructions, it's important to remember a couple things, right? Where is Jesus sending his disciples? Are they just to kind of go anywhere? Wherever the wind blows? Is that where they're going? No, right? He told them to specifically, you know, go to the Jews. Don't go anywhere else but to the Jews. Now, think of this as a training exercise, first and foremost. Second, what is Jesus coming to do? He's not just coming to die, right, for the sins of the world and rise again. That's not his only objective. There's a lot more that he's doing. And one of the main things he's doing is he's bringing judgment to the house of Israel, right? Because didn't the house of Israel, weren't they given some instructions that they're supposed to do? And were they fulfilling that? No, they weren't. Why do you think Jesus was so hard on the scribes and Pharisees? Because they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. Last week we looked at a verse in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And in those books and those passages, we see that the prophets were ripping the priests because they were abusing the sheep, right? Instead of caring for them, guess how they treated them? Hey, kids, we're having lamb tonight, right? And they would just abuse them to the point where they scattered. So Jesus, being the good shepherd that he is, he's coming to his own for what purpose? To gather them back. So on one hand, he's there to gather them back to preach the kingdom of God, right? To preach the kingdom of heaven, that, hey, God is here. Your king is here. All these other people who abused you, they are not your true king. Who is their true king? Jesus, right? And he's teaching them the way that the king wants them to live. That's on one hand. The other hand is his judgment. To those who are unwilling to follow the king, guess what's going to happen? It ain't going to be pretty.
So we see this theme of judgment running through. So Jesus is really trying to call people to him, to follow him as the king, right? Just as if King David was there. In fact, he's something a little bit better than King David, right? Oh, yes. And so this message of the kingdom being spread to Israel, to understand that, hey, their king's here, guys. Rome's not our king. Pilate, yeah, he's not our governor. Herod's not. You know, all these other people who are in charge, guess what? Are they the king? Oh, no, 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 no. The one true king is here. And so they're going to the house of Israel for those reasons. And so as they're to go, we read this morning, I'm sorry, before we get there, as they go, Jesus gave them abilities, right? To cast out demons, to heal, to do these miraculous things. Why is that important? Would you say that would be an attention getter? What's that book called? Heaven is for Real. I think they made a movie out of it. Why did that become real popular? Because wasn't the kid like dead? And then you came back alive. It got lots of attention. So when things like that happen, it gets people's attention. And so when you get back to this day and age, for these miracles to take place, guess what that would do? Okay, I'm listening. So that would then present the message. And so the purpose, right, was to validate what the messenger was saying. No man can do these things unless God be with him. So guess what? We better listen. That's the whole point. And it's amazing how many prophecies in the Old Testament talked about some of these things. And so as we get to today, they were told where to go. They were given special powers. Now, look what else they're supposed to do. Are they supposed to bring any extra money? Are they supposed to bring any extra clothes? Have you ever gone on a trip and didn't pack enough clothes? How did that make you feel? Or worse yet, you go to the carousel and say, where's my clothes? My suitcase never made it. Think like I get to have that experience. But give it time, right? Sure, it's going to happen. So why is Jesus telling them not to bring any of these type of things, right? He says, first chapter says, don't bring any money. How are you going to get around without any money? See? Charity. And so this is about faith, right? This is a faith-building moment for them. Because do you think this is going to help them for future things? Absolutely. This is not a forever that they're supposed to live this way. This is a special assignment designed to grow their faith. Because don't they need some faith to grow, their faith to grow? Remember Jesus on the cross the Sea of Galilee? Bad storm. What did they say? We're all going to die. Don't you care about us, Jesus? And then he kind of chews them out. Oh, you have a little faith. So he stops the storm. And guess the most important part is not that he stopped the storm, but they made it across the Sea of Galilee. They made it. Jesus said, get in the boat. So they did. They're following him. Bad storm, we're all going to die. They didn't. They made it through. So when we follow the Lord, do you think we're going to run into some problems? Do you think he's going to see us through them? So that way, we're not terrified by the problems, but instead, we're motivated by the will of God. This is what the Lord wants me to do. See, that's huge. And that pleases the Lord more than anything else. Take some time to read Hebrews 11:6. You want to impress God? Read Hebrews 11:6. So he says, don't take any money. You know, don't take any extra clothes. Don't take an extra staff. But what does he say at the very end? The workman is worthy of his meat. So what work are they going to do? Are they going to be building any houses, digging any ditches? What's their work? Well, there's holes to go and spread the word, right? Spread the word about the kingdom of God.
This was ordained to perform miracles to help people understand that this is legit. They're just not another group in Israel with their own, you know, goals and ambitions. No. This is directly from God. So that was the work that they were told to do. Don't we have a similar work to do for us today? Do you do miracles? No. But Matthew 28, right? 8-12. That's for us to do. That's to make disciples, right? So as we go about our lives, whether it's working on the base, in a grocery store, in an office, out in the dirt, wherever we're at, right? What does the Lord want us to do? Spread the word. And the Lord's going to take care of us.
And so their work was to spread the words of Jesus. And that by doing so, guess what would happen? They'd be cared for. Now, I've been able to go on a couple of short-term mission trips. You know, there's a period of my life where I moved, and, you know, and I won't go into all the details, but it's amazing to see how the Lord works things out. There are real tangible needs. I didn't know how it was all going to come together. And guess what happened? It came together. And in ways that I would have never guessed. And I hope you have the same examples in your own life where you're doing what the Lord wanted you to do, and you didn't know how things were all going to come together, and guess what? It came together. Is that by accident? Or is that by design? It's by design. And it's important for his disciples. Do you think they relied too much on their money? Is there any examples in the Gospels where they relied too much on their money, on their own ability? Yeah. One instance, had all these people, right? And they said, Jesus, you got to shut up, dude. It's getting late. You know, we don't have enough food, let alone the money to pay for all these people to get fed. You got to stop. What were they relying on? What they had and what in their own money. And guess what Jesus showed? Was their money really important? See, we limit God too much by some of these basic things. And we need to trust the Lord, right? Can he bless us? Oh, yes, he can. We just like to have it all figured out before we go, right? Yeah, I do too, but sometimes that's not always by faith. And so this is a great opportunity for them to learn that guess what? They can be about the will of God and not worry about taking care of their responsibilities, right? Because God's going to bless them to take care of their needs. Now, is that the only needs that they would have? Where are we going to sleep, Jesus? Well, guess what? In verse 11, it says, "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence." In other words, as you're going from city to city, house to house, basically what they're supposed to do is, whoever is going to welcome you, guess what? Go in. Bless them. Have you ever been in that situation where you didn't know where to sleep? You had no place to go? It's a different experience. And it's cool to see how the Lord opens up opportunities. The key is when we follow the Lord, right? Remember Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the promise? All these things shall be added unto you. Whatever it is that you need is going to be added unto you, right? So if you're following the Lord and you need a car, guess what? Keep following the Lord, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to work something out to make a car available. Right? You need to continue to serve the Lord, and he's going to open doors. Ever look back in your own life and say, you know, how did I get where I'm at today? I think it's a good exercise sometimes to go back and trace a step. How did I get to where I'm at today? And you go back to those pivotal moments where a decision was made that was beyond your control.
Somebody who gave you a chance.
I hope you have those.
And I'm sure you do. And I hope you never forget those. Because those are things beyond your control that the Lord orchestrated and made things come together to work out. And those are the gifts from God that they're reminded that, guess what? I still love you. I still got plans for you.
Yes. And so, as they're going, if someone welcomes them in, and if who would welcome them in? Probably somebody who agreed with the message, right? If they didn't agree with the message, you think they'd welcome them in? Probably not, right? They might run them off, as we're going to see later on in this chapter. And so their responsibility was, when you shall come in to the house, salute it. You know, do you think all of the people that welcomed them in, they clicked with? Do you think, you know, Peter, as he's going into some town, you know, and he's like, you know, I'd really like to go to their house. I really hope they do. And then somebody completely opposite said, hey, Peter, come this way. Would you stay with us? You're going to be hard. Do you think the beds were all the same? Do you think some of the houses were maybe a little bit more tidy than others? What about the food? Do you think the food is all the same? You know, I'm sure they probably had some food they would rather pass on, you know? But they're the ones that show them hospitality. What would be the appropriate response? Gratitude. Be thankful. To honor them for what they're doing for them. See, showing honor, I think, is something that our culture doesn't do very much, let alone very well. Maybe past generations, but it seems like society today honor is irrelevant. And I think showing honor, what people have done, for you, I think it's just the appropriate thing to do. So as they're going, following the Lord from house to house, city to city, they welcome them in regardless of the living arrangements, regardless of the quality of food. What were they supposed to do? Be thankful and greet it. In the Lord. Verse 13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not worthy, if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. So who would not be worthy? Those that would, you know, like what Peter had to say and welcome them in. Those says, you know, Peter, you're screwy. You're way out there. Maybe you're even the devils are working in you. Guess what? Get out of here. So guess what Peter's response should have been to those cities or to those houses? Okay. Do you think perhaps it could have gotten late one night and they're trying to find a place to stay? And it's like, God, what do we do? We don't know. But is it possible? Sure. Then God took care of them? Absolutely. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And I'm sure we've all kind of heard that, you know, wipe my hand, wipe your hands clean. Yes, you know, this idea of saying, okay, we're done. And you move on. Now, do you think that put the disciples in a hard position? They're not going to receive us. Where are we going to lay our heads? Didn't Jesus say something about that? Right, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but guess what? The son has no place to lay his head. And there may be times where we don't know what's going on. Who likes to live that way? Abby's smiling, I think she does. No, none of us. But why would anybody in their right mind do this stuff? It's bonkers, isn't it? Didn't Peter leave his career for this? Does that make any sense? Well, it depends on who you think Jesus is. And you have to believe that he's got a better plan for your life than you.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus has a better plan for you than you have for you? And that's manifested in our decisions, right? Yeah. That's why Matthew 6:33 is so important. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Remember, when we follow the Lord, guess what he's going to do? He's going to take care of us, right? When he made the earth, was it okay? Was it like a Motel 6 or the Night's End? Or was this, you know, maybe, you know, the Red Lion? It's kind of hard, not much comparison, you know, but I would say the Red Lion or the Super 8. And anywhere else, I probably would have stayed, right? When God created the heaven and the earth, this wasn't, you know, some little, you know, roach-infested, you know, chalk lines and tapes that do not enter. Terry went to a hotel like that down in Disneyland. Talk to her sometime about that. That was a very interesting experience. It's like, when God created the heaven and the earth, it wasn't half done, right? He said it was good. And did you think he thought of everything? What's that?
He couldn't help it. Who he knows?
Yes. Roly polies, I learned last week. You know what roly polies do?
They roll.
They do roll, yes, but they are a decomposer. So they eat stuff to further refine it, much like worms. Plus, you know, part of the trash breakdown bus. They're able to take and break it down and make it more beneficial for plants and other stuff. Roly polies. So they do have more purpose than just to roll up, right? And flick them either or flick them. It's kind of fun. You know, it's like they do really have a purpose beyond their name. God thought of everything. So if he created the heavens and the earth with that kind of detail, what do you think he has plans for your life? Don't you think he's thought through everything? Or is he, oh, crud, I'm sorry, Tim, I forgot that you need to eat this week. Sorry, hang tight, you know, wait till next week, payday's coming. God doesn't think that way, right? He thinks through everything. Now, there's a partnership we have with the Lord, right? There are responsibilities that we have to keep. And that we work with him. But ultimately, the Lord knows what we need him, right? So the question is, can you trust him? Now, as we look at verse 15, as we wrap things up in this section, let's keep a couple things in mind. First, John the Baptist came, right? Well, was he a headliner? Would he be front page of the newspaper?
Oh,
yeah. Jesus, do you think he would also be another front pager?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, were their messages the same? Well, what came heaven? Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's essentially the same. Okay, so these are headliners. Jesus has been doing some pretty amazing things in this region. Doesn't disciples go out? Do you think there's people that probably haven't heard anything? What's that Geico commercial? What, you're living underneath a rock? Like, people would have heard this stuff. They would have some resemblance of some working knowledge. And so as these disciples were going out, do you think this is the first time they've heard this stuff? To me, I don't think so. They would have lots of opportunities. Every time Jesus did the miracle, this wasn't like, you know, down low, right? This was like people noticed. Remember how there's crowds that would gather around him. The word would have spread. So it's not like these people didn't know anything. It's not like the first time they've heard this. So if you think about it, Jesus is sending yet some more people to his people, Israel, to announce that the king is here,
and that this is how you serve him. They chose not to hurt to hear that. Do you think at some point enough's enough? Yeah. At some point, God says enough is enough. That's scary, right? It's scary when God says enough. And remember my mommy, my mother. There's been times that she gave us certain looks. She said certain things in certain tones where any noise that we were making ceased. We knew she wasn't joking around. We knew we had crossed the line and it was enough. So we're like, okay, who's going to get sent to dinner? Who's going to lose something or what's going to happen? It ain't going to be good. You ever had those experiences? The Lord does the same thing, right? When he says enough is enough, it's scary. Now, did they say that to his children? Yeah. Do you think he deals that way with the lost? Yep. So we need to remember, the Lord's not playing around. When he says stuff, when does he expect it done? When do we get around to it? Or after this? Or hold on. Yeah, no, I don't do that right now. Do you think God likes that? Do you like that? No. When we get to verse 15, this is definitely judgment. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Why would these cities that refuse to hear what the disciples say have it worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah? We all know have Sodom and Gomorrah, right? More than likely, guess where the Dead Sea came from? Could have been where Sodom and Gomorrah located. God judged them for their wickedness, right? Now, were the people in the days of Israel bad like Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't read them doing stuff like what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's not necessarily the sin, right? God sent three people to you to say, hey, do this, do this, don't do that. And he sends one person, one, and both reject the message. Who should be a little bit more trouble? The one that was told more, right? There is no excuse for that. Why do you think the scriptures say that Eve was deceived? But Adam transgressed. Why is there a distinction? After all, who made Adam eat? Well, he said, here, eat. See, God told Adam, don't do it, period. And in Genesis, the order of things, it seems like God told Adam that before Eve was made. God, or Adam was told directly. He would have been probably told by Adam or Shua. So was it okay for Eve to do what she did? No. She stuck with the same consequence as Adam, right? But you look what the scriptures say. Eve was deceived and Adam transgressed. Which was worse? Much is given. Much is required. The Lord has blessed you and given you a lot of, I'm not talking financially, but if he's worked in your life a lot and you refuse him, you refuse to follow him and do what he says, when Dad gets home, it ain't gonna be pretty, right? And I'm not talking about the second coming. I'm talking even today. Can God judge us today? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, he can. There's a lot in here that, you know, that we really can't go into much detail. because there's a lot of questions that we really need to look at. But at the end of the day, why is there a distinction that Sodom and Gomorrah would not have it as bad as these cities who refuse to listen? Because John the Baptist, Jesus, you have his disciples. And are those the only witnesses? We have the Old Testament, right? We have these things communicating what God wants. You know, sometimes maybe when we think about our lives, you know, I go to church, I do this and that. You know, I don't know, at least I'm not like them. Do you remember the role of the Pharisees? We got to be careful with that. Just because when we go to church, does that free us from, oh, well, I'm doing everything God wants me to do? Oh, does God only want you to do one thing? He wants our entire life, doesn't he? Yes. And his ways are always good. So he wants us to serve him for whole heart. And just because we know something doesn't mean we're automatically good. What's my favorite verse in 1 Corinthians 8:1? Knowledge puffs up. But what does love do? It builds up. When we love the Lord, we'll learn how to build up our own lives. We'll learn how to live by faith. We'll learn that, you know what? Is money important? Sure it is. Is it the utmost important thing? No. Is food important? Yes. Is it the utmost important thing in life? No. Is water, shelter, are these things, are clothes important? Yes. But is it the most important thing in life? See, the most important thing is the Lord, right? Because when we serve him, we're doing what he wants us to do. You know what? He tolerates everything. And sometimes doing what he wants you to do is picking the career he has for you. I think God has a career for you specifically. Yes, he does. Can a doctor serve the Lord? Can a cart, can a bagger or a grocer serve the Lord? Absolutely. We can serve the Lord with our careers. That's part of his plan. Sometimes that's what God does. This is he shakes things up. Like, okay, time to find a new career. Have you ever had any experience like that? That's hard, right? But don't you think the Lord has a plan for you if you're in that situation? Of course. The most important thing here is faith. The Lord, first off, equipped them, gave them directions, and promised to take care of things. I think these are the principles that we can glean today. Does God know where you're at? Does God know what you need? Does God have a plan for you? Yes. So guess what? Should we be discouraged? No. Let's not be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord's in charge, right? How is he going to do it? I have no clue. How is God going to bless your life? What is God's, you know, direct will for your life? I don't know. We can talk about it. But ultimately, he's got a plan. He's going to communicate that plan to you. And guess what we should do? Follow him. And it will always require faith. There's going to come a time later on that Jesus is going to say, hey, you need to bring some stuff with you. So the principles that he's saying here, this is not necessarily a lifestyle that we have to maintain. But there may come times, right? Where he may want you to do this. Didn't that happen to Abraham? To get up and leave and go to a place I have to show you. He had to uproot and go someplace else. Do you think that may happen to you? It could. you think God's going to take care of you when he does that? Absolutely. So what's the question? What is God's will? As you read the scriptures, think, what does the Lord want from me? And if that's your first guiding thought principle, guess what you're promised? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. In other words, the will of God. And all these things are going to be added unto you. Did Abraham die a poor man? He was pretty rich, right? So rich and so prosperous that a kingdom, several kingdoms came to him. It'd be like saying, you know, Nevada or Utah or Idaho coming to you saying, hey, I need some of your help with a problem that we have. That's a pretty big deal, wouldn't you say? That's what happened to Abraham. They came to Abraham for that. He was a big wig. God blessed him. He left everything, and God blessed. Can God bless you? Yes. Why would he bless you? He loves you, and he's got a job for you. So he's going to make sure that you got what you need to do your job. So remember, don't worry about what you don't have. Because does that matter to the Lord? Those are, you know, little things. God's not worried about the little things. Why? Because they're going to figure it out, right? What's the big things? The big things is us doing what he wants, right? That's the big thing. And he promised all his other stuff. You don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you.
For those of you who have experienced God do just that, I hope you share what the Lord has done in your life to others. Because it's one of the best things we can do. Like praise, prayer requests and praise, it's a great opportunity to say what the Lord has done. It's a great time. It's a great thing to share it with our kids or in class or just wherever we go to share what the Lord has done. It's a good thing. And it's encouraging, right? The Lord did that for so-and-so. Can he do that for me? Sure he can. So, when he sends out his 12 into the great unknown for the first time, he's equipped them and prepared them. We're not done with the instructions. All of chapter 10 is what Jesus has to say to them, and we'll look more at that next time. But we'll close with this. Hebrews 11:6. I told you it's a great verse to read. And it highlights faith. So the question is, would you consider yourself a Roman centurion? Or would you consider yourself, well, on the boat in the middle of the storm? Who should we be like? Roman centurion, right? So let's set our eyes to have the faith like a Roman centurion, right? And just keep focusing on that. Keep trying to grow. And if we mess up, guess what we need to do? Auto to recognize, you know, and crack up to help us. What's amazing and irritating is Jesus got with his disciples. Did he ever leave them? He never said, oh, find your way back. I'm not gonna help you. You gotta beat all those people. I'm not gonna help you at all. Right? You might have said those things. We never said I'll never help you. He always said, you take care. When they failed, what did Jesus do? He humbled himself and asked them. We'll be the same for you. So the question that comes down to you is, seek ye first in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does he want you to do? Once he reveals it to you, what I encourage you to do, put your whole heart into it.
So just do everything you can to make it happen. And you'll find that there is a peace that passes all understanding, right? And then we'll begin to experience what Jesus said in Matthew 16:33. He says, in me, guess what? You'll have peace. But then immediately he says, but in the world, guess what you're going to have? Tribulation. But then he says this. But be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Jesus overcome the world. We have to be down and sad all the time. No. We can remember, hey, if Jesus got through and did it, that's what? For the first time, greater seed is within you than he is in the world. Who's he talking about? Your true self? You reaching your full potential? Or is he talking about the power of God that lives in every single child of God? We call that the Spirit of God. That's what he's talking about. The Spirit of God in you. You can overcome challenges that you face. The key is to do it. You trust him. Do what he says. And he's going to open a way. But there is no way. Right? Look at your own Red Sea experience. May not be like that, but you'll still see a God experience, right? For God does something amazing. It's our answer. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day and this time. And I pray, Father, that for all of us, Lord, that we would submit ourselves to you, Lord, that we would humble ourselves, that we wouldn't be too prideful, that we would have all of our plans so tight that we don't allow you to have any say in what we do. But instead, Father, I pray, Lord, that we would seek you. That as we go about our life, or that we would be aware that you have desires and plans for us to do, things with our life and things to do every day. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust you. And not to allow the little things, money, clothes, food, and shelter, to deter us from doing what you want. As you said, we do, we follow you, you will add all these things. So, Father, help us to grow in our faith. You give life, not our jobs, not our families, not our station in life. You do. Help us not to get those things. I pray, Lord, you bless our Sunday school hours. We approach that, Lord. Just bless the teachers, Lord, as they prepared. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give them a special blessing and encourage them. And just be with everyone else, Lord, that may this be a time where we can engage and to ask questions and really engage more with your word and to spend more time together. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Bless us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.